This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Now, it's a bit difficult to learn Rabbeinu Peretz because the words missed out. It's a difficult manuscript, so you've got to use it together with the footnotes where he's tried as best as possible to correct it. So the little figures, the little numbers that you see, the Kutsam Ches and so on, it's on Omud Lamed Hey, the second column, Ba'ina Moetze Lamechra. And all those little footnotes have got to lead together with the notes. Ba'ina Moetze Lamechra, and Pirush HaKuntras Loshon Rishoyim. The Mayri Beoni, She'in Loi Rak Sodois Uchromim Shovois Ato La'achar Shehuzlu Meazuz. I don't think you have to put La'achar in. Shovois Ato Shehuzlu Meazuz. We're talking about an Oni who has nothing but these Sodois Uchromim, which after the depreciation is worth 100 zuz. You must shout as soon as you find something that Rabbeinu Peretz says which is not in accordance with what we learned. Machilin oise meiser oni ad mechza. Perush mea zuz. That is, ad sheyihye loy matayim zuz, yochol lito leke chichofe. That is, until he has 200 zuz, he can take leke chichofe. But not more than 200 zuz. Sorry? I don't know that you have to put in that da'at there also. Perish mea zuz. That's, you can give him up to 100 zuz. Ad shi'il on the times zuz. What does it mean up to 100? Until he's got in total 200.
It could be a little bit snuffed like the other one, and you keep on giving him until he gets it. Obviously, not in pressure rushing.
Until he gets up to 200.
Yeah, but not you continue until at some stage rather he eventually manages to amass 200 by selling or whatever. That was rushing. It's a one-time thing.
What we're saying is that if his fields are less than 100 zuz, you can give him up to 100 zuz at any time. Up to the point where he's got a total of 200 zuz. I don't think that is necessary. I think other. He's qualifying it. You give him ad mechza, that is, he's qualifying. Ad shi'il or masayim zuz. You give him up to the half until he's got a total of 200 zuz. So it's a half or 200 zuz, whichever is the greater. Is that right? No, it's a half, but never more than 200 zuz in total. You can give him ad mechta, but never are his total assets to be more than matayim zuz.
Isn't it the agio is just what Rashi is saying here, that he's trying to and pay that a person with less than 200, you can give him.
Giving as the reason?
Yes.
I don't know the one has to say that.
A cash flow coming to me at that point, you can still collect
it. At what point can you still collect it?
If you've got something which is worth 200, and you get 100 for it.
No, that's not what we're talking about in the Perush Rishon. It's worth 200, but you can only get 100, right?
She said you can just give him up to half.
Up to half, right.
Doesn't comment on whether you can still go and collect.
Can you take it from the din of Maseroni and Leket Chikon Pei is the same. If he's allowed to take Maseroni, he can take Leket Chikon Pei.
That's only if your property is worth less than 200.
Only if the property is worth less than 200, according to the parish. If the Maser he can only get 100, then he's allowed to take these things up to the point of a total of 200. Okay?
That seems like being reasonable. It means in the legacy of the pair, which is the Mishnah over there, otherwise, why didn't that end? Don't do that.
It could be. I'm just always very reluctant to add letters and words in if it's not necessary. Could be. The Ad Shi'ilu many times is Yochalit to Lake Shikrofair. Bekomer hechidami idzol arusot dekula alma v'chule apilu tuva nami disvore perush kivan dezol arusot dekula alma. Since everybody's karka went down, onusu, he is an onus v'imkein apilu tuva. whose lu, therefore, even if they've gone down less than half, lisfule ad hashlomas. Yeah, you've got to add something in. Lisfule ad hashlomos. What is kufar and aleph? Masayim zuz. Since he's not an onus, even if they've gone down lower, you should be able to bring him up to 200 zuz. The either zol arasei aydid akayo v'nafikim kein poshaya huva apilu putanam iloy lisfule. Which is not our first Lashon in Rashi. So does he have a different Gilsa in Rashi, or is that how he's Mefarish Rashi? It seems that's how he's Mefarish Rashi. There's no Raya that he has a different Gilsa. That's what Rashi means is Sharei Shobos Karkois of Masayim Zuz, because they're worth 200. So why can't he get 200? Because of his problem, not because of the... Sure. Because of his problem, not because of the Karkois problem.
Is the Shira and the Eskei Kois the same object where they're worth 200?
Yeah, but his Mefarish, Rabbeinu Peretz seems to be Mefarish, that what does it mean they're objectively worth? So why can't he get it? If it's not his fault that he can't get it, then it's not objectively worth 200. The fact that the neighbor's is worth 200 doesn't matter.
Is that called Kshia?
It's because it's Kshia. If it weren't because it was Kshia, then it wouldn't be objectively. Let's say it's an honest. Let's say he was forced to let on that he's selling. Let's say it's an honest. For example, what happens... He didn't go running around for a couple. Everybody knows it's in the front page of the Sunday Times that the bank is foreclosed on him. He's got nothing. So the first person he goes to sell his property, they know he's in trouble. That's an honest. That's not a pusher. So according to this, then we wouldn't say his karka is really worth Mosayim Zuz, or would we? Because he can't realize Mosayim Zuz for it. There's no way he could realize Mosayim Zuz for it. It's not. It's not. His karka is not worth Mosayim Zuz.
His isn't, but the karka is worth.
Oh, so what does it mean his isn't? So we made the chibuk between the karka and his karka. Now, if you're going to learn pshat in this Rashi the way Rabbeinu Peretz is, we're making a finer chibuk. Even if his karka is only worth 100, that's still an objective thing. Then that's the price for his karka. But what happens in a situation where even his karka is worth 200? It's just that he can't get 200 for it. Well, he's been pusher. He can't get because of a problem with the gavra, not with the chetzer. Not with the chetza and not with the belonging of, not with the ownership of the chetza. The problem is how he handled it. He's made a mess of it. So it's a problem of behavior, not of mitzvahs. That's how, if Rabbeinu Peretz is letting pshat in this Rashi, that's how we would have to do it. Afilu putanami lo lisfule, says Rashi Shari, Shobos Kalkos of Masayim Zuz. In such a case, they're still called Shobos Masayim Zuz. Why are they Shobos Masayim Zuz? Not because other people's are, but because he's been a Poshea, says Rabbeinu Peretz. Which means that if he wasn't a Poshea, it would still be Masayim Zuz, even if he can't get Masayim Zuz. The way Rashi says in the second Loshon, maybe not so clear, but here, if you're going to be Mefarish Rashi that way, and say that's what he means, it's Shobos Masayim Zuz because he was a Poshea. Mashma, if he wasn't a Pesher, it wouldn't be called Shobos Masayim Zuz. So we're not testing it by how much is other people's property saleable in that area. What we're saying is your property is saleable for 200. You destroyed it. You made a mess of it. It's like a person who would say, don't worry, really, I need 200 for my property, but if you'll only pay me 100, that's fine, because Tzedakah will pay me the other 100. So you take it for 100. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, but just in practice,
The way we learnt is it's got nothing to do with Kshir. We've got to check the value of his property against other people's property. If generally such a plot of land in that area goes for 200 zuz, then that is its worth. The fact that he cannot get the 200 zuz for it, we're not interested in that. The man is an Oshim. Because he has something which is objectively worth 200. If we're going to say that Afshare Shobos Kargoes of Masayim Zuz is because he was a Poshea, that implies that if he wasn't a Poshea, they would not be worth 200 zuz. Even if he couldn't get 200 zuz. The first way we're saying, if he couldn't get 200 zuz, then they're worth two, then they're still worth 200. Okay, again. The way we learnt originally, says Rashi, why shouldn't he get in its docket? Share shobus kagos of Musaimus. Nothing to do with Pshia, just by measuring it objectively. Rabbeinu Peretz says it's not because of measuring it objectively. It's true that objectively it's 200 zuz, but what would be the, but it's because he was Poshea that it's not, that it's worth. It's only because he's Poshea that the fact that it's worth 200 zuz counts against him. But if he wasn't a Poshea, it wouldn't. Malamai Nafkimina, in a case where he can't get 200 zuz for his, but not because of Pshia.
Did you switch the
logic?
Because when he was Bashan, it was worth 200
zuz.
That's the reason.
No, it was less than
200 zuz
because of
Bashan. No, but she says 200. The
that
reason it dropped to 200 is because he was
Bashan. No. I feel it's dropped below 200 because he was Bashan.
But it says Shabbos Matan.
Objectively, that's without the Bashan. Shabbos Matan zuz is its objective value in society, in that neighborhood. And it's because of his pshia that it dropped below. That's how the Rabbeinu Peretz is learning. That's why we don't give him tzedakah. But if it wasn't because of his pshia that it dropped below, even if it's only his property that dropped below, then he would still give. Then he could get his tzedakah. If he's an honest, it's okay. So whereas Rabbeinu Peretz says that Rashi is talking about the difference between an honest and a pashia, we learned in Rashi that we're talking about an objective evaluation as opposed to a subjective evaluation, irrespective of why his valuation is lower.
But the Gemara only talks about that case of Poshea, which is either I or nothing. It doesn't talk about a case where he didn't run around that went down because of that. The Gemara forces us into that, but that's the main point about case of Poshea.
Like a Ben Peres, you understand? Otherwise, what's the Shatna Gemara? I did the Ayel Vanafik. You could say that's the normal case, yeah. You could say that's the normal case. Is that the normal reason that it would be worth less is because the eye of a nafik. But that doesn't mean that that's even a pshia. According to Rashi, maybe that's perfectly legitimate. As we learned in the Rambam, I did the eye of a nafik, fine. Enachinami, the value goes down, but what can you do? If you have to sell, you have to sell. And your price will go down. It's not because there's a pshia. That's not called pshia, according to Rashi. Then why don't we give him tzedakah? Because objectively it's worth more. Says Rabbeinu Peretz, if that wasn't called pshia, then it isn't objectively worth more. If you have to do that, Klav Ishmaya, that's what you have to do. And doing that, all you can get is 150, then that is its value. I don't think we have to count. What does he say at the bottom? He learns that it's a different thing. But the Chor, I don't think one needs to. Who's the notes man here? Binyamin Zev Alevi Prague. Dayin Amor Tzedek Bira Kodesh Yisharayim. He's a Dayin in Yisharayim, it seems. Yes. Let's see who gives him a spoma. Or maybe not. And I'm happy to show Binyamin Zev Alevi Prague. Actually small today, this guy I was speaking to in the government says, he says, Rabbi, I'm going to be very happy to meet you. I said, why? He says, because it's a long time that I've not been able to discuss my knowledge of the Mishnah, Gemara, the Sifra, and the Sifri, and the Tosefta with anyone. He says, he studied it a lot. He was in Israel, and he wants to see how many Sadarim of Shas he still remembers. Didn't mention Yerushalmi. I'll get him on your shoulder. Isn't amazing? Hello, all these Askomas are. Anyway, I don't think we have to regard ourselves as totally. As totally. Bound by him. Let's go further. The Koshe Leperi is there. Now that Rabbeinu Peretz asks on his understanding of Rashi, and it will be interesting to see whether his kasha applies only to his understanding of Rashi, or whether his kasha applies to understanding of Rashi as well. The kivan dahashto mio ein karka oisov shovis rakmone. Since now, after all, these karka is only worth 100. Im kein hashto miho onihu. In that case, now he's an oni. Im kein afilu elef zuz vazachas yito kidetna misho yudoi elef zuz chasadiner afilu chasadiner echod. To find Gilu Afilu Elef Zuz. Afilu Nosnuloi Elef Zuz, Leket Shikupe Las Akas Hareze Yitzo. Asked Rabbeinu Peres, but Lamaisa now is an Oni. Lamaisa now is an Oni, he can only get 150 for it. What's that, the reef? Sorry? He sees nothing wrong with what he was doing. It's not a pshir. Let's look at the second kasha, because it's a different. The second kasha is now the odd kasha. Tatu mishum the ka'ayu v'nafik azuzi mipnei doich koi. Havi pshir behochi. Mohoyo yocholo. Lazos. What else should he have done? Two kashas he asks. What's the difference between the two kashas? First one, he says, Lamaisa, he can only get 150 for his properties, or 100 for his properties. So he's an oni. Who cares what the reason is? And even if you will say that it's out pshia, we are not responsible for his pshia. Why is it pshia? Those are the two kashas. Now, are those kashas applicable only the way Rabbeinu Peretz has learned Rashi, or the way we learned Rashi too? Is there a way? Is there actually a son?
Another strongly than
the way we learned
Rashi.
How?
As we say, according to Rashi, even if it wasn't
for Shia,
I'm saying it's worth 200.
We wanted to say that's got nothing to do with Shia, so the kashas wouldn't apply. The second kasha certainly wouldn't apply.
No, the second one, but the first would be even stronger.
The first one we would say, but why not? Lamaisa, you can only get 150. So we've got to say we were mechalik between. We define them only not in terms of what he can get, but what it is worth. So I said.
His
kasha is on Rashi. Is it on Rashi the way we understood Rashi, or only the way he understands Rashi? That's what I want to understand.
Did we say that if he sold it and he got 150, he could
claim it? If he wasn't a pusher, the chora, yes. If he was a pusher, can zain it. But if he wasn't a pusher, then calls man that he's got it. Difficult to say that he can claim, but if he sells it, now he's only got 150, then he's an oni. Says Rabbi Lepere, so before he sells it, also we should, why make him sell it? Lamai said that's all he's going to get. So it says if he's got 150 in his hand, I suppose the kasha then is according to us as well. What will we do? If he's not a posher, we're not going to give him stoker, so he'll sell. If he sells, he'll get 100. If he gets 100, he'll come for stoker. What are we going to say then? He's only got 100, we'll have to give it to him. But while he's got the property, we won't give it to him. Why not? But it is for it, he can borrow. While he's got the property, he can borrow. But it is for it to be mechalek. If he's sold the property and he's only got 150 or 100, then he's an oni. But if he's got a property that's inherently worth 200, he can borrow. But according to the way Rabbeinu Peretz understands Rashi is that kasha is stronger. He says it's not because of the objective value, it's because of his pshia. So according to the Rabbeinu Peretz, there is more of a kasha. Because according to the way Rabbeinu Peretz understands Rashi, he says that the essence of Rashi is, was it his fault or wasn't it his fault? If it's his fault, then we don't give him. Also, Rabbeinu Peretz, two kashas. Number one is, why don't we give him if it's his fault? Lamaisa is an oni. Rabbeinu Peretz wants to define an oni objectively, irrespective of whether he was a pshia or not. And secondly, why is he a pshia? The way we learned it, no, we say it's nothing to do with pshir. It's got to do with the way we define an oni. We define an oni as a person whose assets are objectively not worth 200. So according to the way we learned it, there's no cash in. If you're going to say that the whole thing revolves around whether it was his fault, it's not what his assets are worth. His assets are worth 150 the way that Rabbeinu Peretz learns it. But it's his fault that they're worth 150. But if you acknowledge that they're only worth 150, you should get Maaseh Gavur. The way we learnt in Rashi, his assets aren't worth 150, they're worth 200.
And therefore he sells.
The way we learnt, if he sells, he could still get, because he can't borrow now. If he's got the property, he can borrow. There's a svara to be mechalei.
But the fact is, once he's got the eye, he shouldn't have sold.
Why not?
He
could have borrowed, he shouldn't have sold.
Now he sells the share and he's selling also.
That's his choice to decide if he wants to sell.
And then he's left you in master on it.
Yes.
What's the difference between having something which is worth 200 and you can't sell it for that, and having something which is worth 150?
Your borrowing ability. Yeah, if you go to the bank and say, look, you value my property, and they say 200, and you say, now I can't get 200 for it because people know what situation I'm in, but if you lend me against that, in a month's time I will be able to get 200.
What situation is probably worth 200, and you decide if you have 150, you can get 200 for it. Can you go then off as long as possible? It's the same thing.
That's true.
Same thing.
You want to say you won't get at all. You won't get at all. Since it's worth 200, he shouldn't sell it.
Otherwise,
but he can't eat. He can't eat. So he must borrow.
Otherwise, he must really, because he's a paper seller.
According to Rabbeinu Yehuda, according to Rabbeinu Peretz, he learns in Rashi that where Rashi says Shaharei Shovus Karkois of Masayim Zuz, what we're saying is that his property is worth 200 zuz, and it is because of his pshia that it's no longer worth 200. What he's saying is really this property was worth 200 zuz, and it's because of his pshia that it's not worth 200 zuz. If it's not worth 200 zuz, why can't he get my sukkah? That's what he's asking. The way we learn, we're not saying it's because of its pshia, we're saying it's still worth 200 zuz. That's why he can't get my sukkah. He can't get 200 zuz for it, that doesn't mean it's not worth 200 zuz. So the third of these caches are tied to the way Rabbeinu Peretz learns in Rashi.
Difficulty with that second answer, because that shouldn't make a difference. If we're saying that it's worth 200 zuz but you can't get 200 zuz, that's what the Rabbeinu Peretz is saying. The reason why is that that's a different thing.
But the Peretz is saying we don't come, what you can sell your property to it for is what it's worth. If you can only sell it for 100, then it is worth 100.
But we can say the same, yeah. If it's worth 200, you can only sell it for 100.
But we learned in Russia that a chiluk between its inherent value and its realizable value. That's how we were mechalek in Rashi. And we're saying Rabbeinu Peretz is not making that chiluk. He's saying if you can only realize 100, it's only worth 100.
But then he must have a different gear subject. If he's forced to learn that way, he must have something that's pushing him. Because the Gemara says apilu puta, so we know it's, we're talking about a situation where
he can realize less than
200. Realize less than 200.
Now the question is, does that mean that it's worth less than that it's worth less than 200 or not?
According to the Rashi, the way he says it's worth 200. The hashdim miyah ain karkusav shavus shavus rak money. So it's only worth 100.
How do you want to say it's not a perish, it's actually a different gusa? Because Rashi, as we have it, we must learn the way we learn it. That's what you want to say now, right? He says that right in the beginning as well. Pirsha kunj lo shavishin demayri v'oni she'en lo irak sodis uchromin shovis ato shehuzlu me'azuz. In the third line, now that they've become cheap, they are worth 100 zuz. How does it help them?
That's the case of the grasshopper at this point, then. But it's not going to then.
Yeah, right. To the numbers for the perish given, this allows the Kulama on the school. And the ink came. I feel it too, least for lay. But he's definitely got different Yisos, because look at the Perish Kivan Dezol Araso the Kula Alma Onusu Vimkein Afilu Tuvo Huzlu Lisfule. How does he learn the Afilu Tuvo? On the Huzlu. And how does Rashi learn the Afilu Tuvo? On how much we give him. So he's clearly learning Rashi completely differently.
That's why there's notes at the bottom.
That's why he's forced off those notes at the bottom. So he's got a shita in Rashi that learns. Let's try and reconstruct what he's got in Rashi. That he who's allowed to kula alma v'didei namiz alba hadayu afilo tuvo nami lisfule. Even if it's gone down a lot, we should still give him money. Why? Because it's an onus. Ad Hashlomos Masayim Zuz. The Eid is all. I would say I did the kail and Afik in Kain Poshayahu. The Afilu put nami lolis filah. Even if he only needs a little bit, we shouldn't give it to him. Even if it's only gone down a little bit, we shouldn't give it to him. So he's got a different gizah in Rashi. But Koshil appears there, and on this he asks two kashis. The kivadash to miyain kalkos the shovas rak mone. So that first kasha does not apply the way we learned it. That I stand by. The first kasha does not apply the way we learned it. He bases the whole thing on the fact that according to his Rashi, the kalka is now worth meyer. If the kalka is now worth meyer, then he should be entitled to maaseroni. Kenash to miyain only yubim kenafil elevzus bavas achas yitul kidan misha yul loy elevzus chosad dinar echod. Therefore, Rabbeinu Peretz comes to say, "Nirik perish sheinu perish Rashi." So, for those reasons, he's doche the first perish. The Ma'ari be'oshi. Shiyesh lebatim mesodes shovim habi yosim emesayim zes. Ach eno meitzei lemochron, eno meitzei bedomeim chatzi shivyo. Ukoma machilim oiso meiser oni ad mechta klema ad shi yimot zeilim kor karka oiso ad chatzi shivyo. The afa gav de pochus mishivu yom nami hem shovim yosim emesayim zes. Even though at their lower value he can still get more than 200 zuz, so he's not an oni by any means. Mikomokum tiknu, this is a takonus chazal. She yitol that he can take tzedokah money. The haki ashkichan nami beferik azuroa. The oshir ha'oyve mimokum lemokum mokum the machilin loisem ha'aser oni. Here we have the introduction of a precedent. What is this business that he can take ma'aser oni even though he's not an oni at all, and even at the reduced value he can sell it for more than masayim zuz? Where does it come from that he can take must, that he can take money? And Oshiru is Oyver Mokum Lamokum Machiri Moise Maiseroni. What does that mean? Although he's an Oshir, in this place he doesn't have it. So how did we learned that the first time? I think Jeff, you mentioned that Mishnah. And we learned it in relationship to the fact of bringing him into a different time frame. But since in a different time frame he could get, that's later on in the Maskona of the Gemara, since in a different time frame he could get the full value, we're entitled to use tzedakah money to transport him into a different time frame. And Jeff brought that as the same concept in a place frame. In this place, he doesn't have 200 zuz. So we're entitled to, so you can take my story, the fact that he's got 200 zuz somewhere else, but right here, he can't eat. He's got nothing to eat right here. In this place, he hasn't got. So we've got to look at him in his time and place context when we decide whether he's got my story or not. Now we have, Rabbeinu Peretz adds a new dimension. Not only time and place context, but what? What is this? What's the principle here? In what way is this a precedent? Here he's in a place where his nechosim are, and he can sell his nechosim, and if he sells his nechosim, he'll have more than Messiah's. Why can't he take Maseroni? What's the tzushtel between this? What's the comparison between this and the Oshir who's over and Mimoko and Mimoko? What's the comparison?
The expensive problem, isn't it? Yeah, now the environment's changed. He didn't move. The environment moves.
But it's there, he's got it all there with him. In the case of
economic, the economic environment moves.
But that's its value, that one. Economic environment is always moving. Israel is not the same. There he says, I'm in wherever. I've got property in South Africa, but I'm not in South Africa. I'm in South America. And I need to eat. What am I going to do? So let's look. In South America, you're an oni. In South Africa, you're an oshi. In South America, you're an oni. As most South African travelers find when they go overseas. You're an oni, no matter what you are in South Africa. There, you're an oni. So good. So you can get myself oni there, although you can come home and be an oshi. That makes a lot of good sense. But if in South Africa I'm an oshi, just what? I would have to sell my property to get my cash flow, and I would have to take a knock. Why does that make me an oni? So he's careful. He doesn't say it makes you an oni. He says, Mikol makom tiknu shiyito. It's a takona. It's a takona chazal you're allowed to take. Why? I can understand the logic of such a takona, but I can't understand its connection to the case of the Oshir HaOver. The takona can be because by helping him out, he'll be less of a burden on the tzibur. By making him sell at a loss, he's going to...
When you say it's temporary, when you're travelling, you're also in a temporary situation.
So how do we know it's temporary? Because it's Ayel...
Everybody else has been done.
That's only because of Ayel Benafik. Is that what we're saying? Since there's a reason for it... Since there's a reason for it, if everybody's, but it's faket, if everybody's went down, then we give him. If he's the only one that goes down, we don't give him. So if everybody's went down, why should we give him? What's the sfora for that?
What would happen if you went down to see a strong man?
What's the show?
So,
you don't have money overseas?
No, you go overseas, they don't.
Person, what does he mean? Understand something in that takona which applies here too. Tikdush Yitu, the Hoki Ashkhan, and have a very casual Oshir Ha'ive Mokum the Mokum, Lachir Nusim Maisaron. Because there is not an Oshir. There is not an Oshir, but here it's not the same case. Here he is an Oshir. But we need to clarify what he wants to say from there. The Jeff, where did you come across this when you quoted? Did you get know it from the Rabbeinu Peretz or from somewhere else? Tosfos brings it. This is bringing it. And you're showing the document now. Where does Tosfos bring it? Dashin and Nami have got the Eved Ivri, but yes, it's Yehusa. What's that going to do? The Perek HaZvah, you're showing about the Mashmah, the Kamatan, and the Mashmah, and the Hasidic show. Also, the Mekam, I would like to be the Hasidic, and the Bedin Chai, but the Rabbi Yotan, the Kamatan, the Yishan, the Rabbi Yazim, the Gid Abon, and the Lat Amis, and the Hasidic, the Rabbi Yabon, and the Rabbi Yotan, 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 and the Rabbi Yotan,
But generally, how do we learn it in Rashi and the Mishnah Achrona if he's learning it? Everybody's guys down.
Why do we pay? So I learned because of Nezek. But the Takona is that by not giving him to the Lamais has got nothing to eat. So we could say. Yes, but he hasn't got any cash flow.
He hasn't got cash.
So he's got nothing to eat. So he comes to us. By not giving him tzedakah, we're forcing him into Nezek.
But everybody's a devil.
Everybody's down. We learned it as Nezek, and that's why we brought Pshir. Is it his fault or is it our fault? By refusing to give him tzedakah, we're making him lose. Because Kol's money doesn't sell, he hasn't taken a loss. And we're forcing him to sell.
Everybody says that.
So altogether you say, and in the Rambam also we have the problem, don't we?
No, because he turns the gears around.
But philosophically the problem still applies in the Rambam too.
Well, when it goes up or when it goes down. He says no.
When everybody's he says that's better. When he says when everybody goes down, like, then he's that's tough luck. But when he's the only one, we help him. That could be compared more to this case of the only that's over. That could be compared.
She says, no question of media. We're talking about a guy's in a sleep situation. So everybody else goes down to two. So people, this guy is in a situation. One of those guys is selling his property.
Except his property.
Anybody in that situation
would be rushed. And another would have to be helped. The question is why? Why else the doctor? Let him sell. So that means that old Trump, and with all his property in Manhattan, when property is down,
if he didn't have a Los Angeles in cash,
well, if his property is down, he might not have it in cash.
But it's only if he's got it in cash. But the only guys with property got cash also.
Well, let's say he's invested all his property, cash and properties.
Then
he would fall, no matter how old he is, and no matter he can be a multi-billionaire, and all he would have to take is a small loss for selling.
Apparently, it's not
shared
for all
the money. Right. We don't say to him, "Why didn't you leave yourself some cash?" We don't say that. You're right. But that's a normal thing to do, to put everything into property, and there should be income from the property. So if there's a slump and your properties are standing empty, and you've got no income from the property, you're not forced to sell it.
Although the Aetz is not like a Aetz divided up, isn't it? But then it's not for sure.
It's not. And what happens if... But it still doesn't help us to understand the relationship between that and the Osher that's over in the Mokum. That I want to look at on Sunday. Would you do a bit of research into that? Have a look at the Gemara in Chulin and try and work out what Rabbeinu Peretz means. What is the Tzushta? What is he bringing a raya from there? He's bringing a precedence from there that there is such a takona that even an Osher can get. Good, even an Osher can get, that's fine, but there's a reason there. Because in that place, it's not an Osher.
Maybe it's a Yashkakon, it's just that it can be a takona, not necessarily there's a...
For an Osher taking tzedakah. Yeah, but for us it's difficult, because we've said that fellow's not an Osher. You've got to define an Osher in terms of his place as well. Just as you define him in terms of his time, you can't say, I will be an Osher in 10 years' time, therefore I don't get tzedakah now. The fact is, it just isn't in time. You've got to look at him in the place where he is in the time frame. So in place also, if in this place he's got no man, he's it says noni. That's lichora very difficult to bring any kind of raya from there. There he's an oni in that place. So he's not an oni at all. The Gemara still defines him as an oshi. Yeah, but I think that means that because he's not an Osher. Because he's not an Osher. If Ma'achilin Oysa Ma'isar Oni, that's the question we've got to look there. Is that Taka Takone? Sorry? We have to look at that whole thing, that whole story. That's the Tosfos story. I would like to look at that on Sunday. Is there a deep relationship between the case of the Osher Ha'ivim Mimokim and Mimokim and our case of a person who cannot realize the full value on property and he's got no cash flow? And then the Nachlas Dovid sums up the whole Sugya very nicely. And I want to go through that and see if he learns it differently from the way we've learned it or not. He also asks a couple of kashas similar to the Rabbeinu Peretz. Those are the two things I want to do, and that will tie up the sugi very nicely, I think. And we'll go on after the two dots. I suppose we should also look at the Shulchan Aruch and see how the Shulchan Aruch paskins the maase with all these different gersos. Sorry.
The Shulchan Aruch goes word for word as
well. And there's a rabbi that says a yeshemim differently. So we have to see lahalocha exactly how the sugya comes out, because it has that communism in many areas.